in our brother Richard. May God bless you. We are very confident that what people see and may judge that you are today is not really who you are. The Lord is taking you somewhere. Hold on to those scriptures that grace gave to you, and we can't wait to see God's glory shining in your life and rejoicing with you. Praise God. We are talking about desire. We read a few scriptures so far talking about desire, and last Sunday we stopped at this verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, connecting this verse with the topic we are trying to understand, desire, we see that the love of the world can be found in one's heart. When you love the things of the world and this world more than anything else, you are in trouble, really. Because the love of the Father will not find a place, a space in your heart. We can't serve two masters. We can't worship two masters. We have to dedicate ourselves completely to the Lord. And that's why I chose to refresh our memory, putting next to the word love, the Hebrew word which is used for love, ava, which means I give. And then last Sunday we said, do not give yourself to the world or to anything in the world. If you have to give yourself to someone, it's to the Lord himself. As we heard Lynn saying, she thought before that her husband was everything, but now she realized she can lose the husband, she can lose the wealth of this world, but she can't lose the Lord. Losing the Lord is being lost. May the Lord help us. Every child of God has a challenge. As long as we are here in this world, day after day, we're facing challenges. And that war which is happening in our heart in regard to our desires, our heart desires, can determine if we are giving ourselves to the Lord or we are giving ourselves to the world and to the things which are in the world. Things that are in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, which is the follow-up of the previous verse we read. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification or satisfaction, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father but are from the world itself. It's good to assess before even anybody comes to you trying to help you that, brother, sister, I think you better look at this aspect of your life for you to be closer to the Lord. Each and every one of us, we have to assess ourselves. Before you go to bed, you go deep down in your heart to just do an assessment to see if the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life did not condition the way you lived your life throughout the day, or are not bringing stress in your life, are not making you to be a miserable person, are not degrading the grace of God that you have received in your life. Apostle Paul says, if we have what to eat and some clothes to put on ourselves, that is enough. Happiness does not depend on being a millionaire. Many are wealthy in this world, but they ending up by suiciding themselves. It's a proof that shows that what we have found in the Lord, the happiness we have found in the Lord, they are far from that, in spite of the billions, in spite of the many parties they are organizing, the holidays full of amazing things when we look at them with the eyes of the world. I remember one day watching Oprah. She organized a trip to the Caribbean, and she hired 3 jets, one for herself, one for her guests, and one for her dogs, and spent billions for that. Well, it's her money. She has the right to do whatsoever she wants with her money. But did she find the happiness we have today? No. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are destroying many people. Unfortunately, when we look at the circle of Christians or in Christianity, we find this stuff also tormenting the people of God, especially with the new age gospel that we have today, focusing on the world, on the things of the world. That is not helping young Christians. It's not helping even those who have been long in faith. I shared with you the other day how that concept of being a man of God took hold of me without me realizing. And I start spending on furniture, on cars, and flashy clothes, thinking that I'm putting myself in that standard of a man of God. And I thank God because He loves me so much. All those stuff that I was measuring my value with, they started to fall apart, up to the point that I found myself with nothing, and I understood that it was a divine intervention to bring me back to the track, to understand that my value is in the Lord, not in what my eyes or my flesh can last for. May God help us. The things of this world are exploited by the enemy in many ways. Once you become a victim of the enemy and you take your eyes, the attention of your eyes, from the Word of God, from the things that are in heaven, as the Bible urges, to fix our eyes on the heavenly things, not the earthly things, not those that are shining, the bling bling of this world. But things that are in heaven, because in reality, we are citizens of heaven. Heaven is our home. Heaven is our destination. Here on earth, we are just passing. Let's read some scriptures in the Bible. May the Lord help us to understand fully His will. We can start with Philippians chapter 3. Our reading will go from verse 1 to 11. And I would love if Rest can help us here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. When we get to verse 7, please pay a particular attention. The Lord wants to do something for us today. Last Sunday I told you that personally, as I was going through this teaching, I was much challenged and many changes happened in my personal life. And I pray today that the Lord pour His same anointing upon each and every one for us to move along in that same transformation dimension. Thank you, Grace. Let's go. We all know who Paul was. Today, many people are finding pleasure, satisfaction, and pride in doing long studies and adding qualifications to what they have. Paul, we count him among those people with knowledge and qualifications, if you want. These things, from that age up to now, are really driving the desire of many people. But there is something we are missing to see in the picture. Degrees are good to get because they will open a way for you to secure a better job, a career job. But for your life to succeed, God will not depend on the degrees that you can get. He can make a way where there is no way. He can make you very successful even though you don't have a degree. That's the Lord we are worshiping. That's the one we trust and believe in. I'm not against degrees, because I'm looking for some as well. Last Thursday, I received a letter from Sheffield University. They have granted me a place to do a master's degree in working with communities. It's my passion to know the community, the principles that I can use to reach out to the community, and I want to learn. So I'm not really chasing the pride of the qualification to say, okay, look at me, Pastor Dama, I have a knowledge of the Bible, I have a master's degree or a PhD. No. I'm not interested in that. But I want to know how I can be relevant and effective serving the communities, reaching out to the communities, because things are changing day by day. Now, the problem is here, that confidence one is founding not in the Lord, but in things of the world, in degrees. I brought one of my pictures, a beautiful picture that Before I was cherishing, when I received my BA in Applied Theology and Biblical Studies, going through this teaching, the value I was putting on this picture degraded. The dressing I have there, the gun, the heart, everything is rooted in Freemasonry. When you are a newcomer and they initiate you, they will give you this kind of garment to put on. At some extent, they count you as someone qualifying to be part of the brotherhood. And it's that same concept that they brought into education. When you qualify at university, you are at some extent counted like one of them because your spirit is open to get knowledge of mystery. So you are qualifying compared to the person who never been to university, because you can learn fast and quick. And your desire is like tuned to desire more of knowledge compared to someone who is not interested in studies. So they ask you when you're graduating to wear the similar things that the people who are joining officially, they're in secret, the brotherhood of Freemasonry, have to wear as well. Look at the shape of the heart. The top is in square. And the square shape in Freemasonry is something that speaks volumes. We're going to get to that. Now imagine a brother like me who met the Lord Jesus Christ, finding my pride not in the Lord, but in a picture like this when I put it in my house. Because everybody who comes to visit me can see that I have a qualification. Therefore, I'm somebody. My value is counted in something like that. My confidence is valued in something like that. And the Lord is sending us His word today to help us. What is there in your heart as a desire that creates confidence in you? Is it the knowledge of things of the world, qualifications, or I don't know what? Or is it the knowledge of the one who took your place, died for you, and provided salvation for you? In verse 7, Paul is saying, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but what which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Praise God. My prayer today is this kind of desire found in Paul's heart become our desire as well. Look back to your life. What are the things were you counting as again? What are the things that was boosting up your confidence in life, making you feel that you are somebody, making you feel that you have value? When I look at the zeal of my brother Leon, I thank God. He's got such infectious zeal of what he's discovered in the things of the Lord. He shared what he read and was blessed by. I can say he's boasting about the knowledge of knowing the Lord, discovering Christ, who he is really, than boasting in the things of the world. Money, cars, houses, or any other thing that we can earn. To meet this kind of Christians, it's rare. Because some, maybe many Christians, when you meet them talking, quite often you're going to hear the topics are changing from things of the world to others. But to find some people who are just there sharing how they have come to know the Lord in a new dimension, in a sweet and amazing way, it's rare. And that's the kind of Christian Paul was. Excited by knowing Christ who he is. Do we know him fully? No. We met him. He lives in us. But day by day, as we are sharing one another the word of the Lord, we are discovering in depth, in new dimensions, who Christ is. Yes, we were praising him. But consider when Helen came here with that zeal, that confidence, with that fear, knowing that the one for whom we are here today, he's the healer. He's got solution to all our problems. He can take our anxieties and fears away. You can be infected by that in the positive way. And that is the revelation she received for herself and she shared with us here today. And I'm telling you, when I stood up, rose my hands, and started praying, my prayer was not just a normal prayer. It was a prayer full of faith, because someone who came to know Christ in a new dimension today stood at the frontier and just touched that part of my heart to bring my faith to that higher level. Knowing Christ. That was Paul's desire. Sharing his suffering, that was his desire. What are the desires in our hearts? Where are our confidence found in our hearts? Degrees, diplomas? Help us to read the second scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Please. 1 Peter, verses Epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and we read verse 11. In my Bible it's written, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." This same person, Paul, whose heart desire was to know Christ in a new and higher dimension, to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's urging us, asking us to count ourselves, to consider ourselves as sojourners and pilgrims here on earth. I remember one day I shared with you here a message entitled Refugees. And I shared a bit of my life with you, how I was born from refugee parents. I suffered as a child mockeries of other children who were considering me as a refugee. And how that affected even my character at some extent, being shy. And against my will, I found myself here again as a refugee. And how my whole life, really, I can say, I've been a refugee. So Apostle Paul is saying that as citizens of heaven, we have to consider ourselves as sojourners and pilgrims or strangers here on earth. Three words that was used there, as I shared with you when I was talking about refugee, one of them is talking about being a refugee, that we are refugees here on earth. For you being a refugee, maybe it doesn't mean anything because you are born in this country, it's yours, and you never feel the feeling of a refugee. We have our sister here. She's not a refugee. Even the status of an asylum seeker is refused to be given to her. She's under threat of deportation. So at some extent, we can say that in this country, she's even lower than a refugee. Because a refugee is accepted in this country. He can apply for a job, but she can't. Now, the Bible is saying that we have to count ourselves as refugees. Sojourners, people who are just passing. How stupid it's going to be as refugees trying to live a life of worldly people as if we completely belong to this world. It won't make sense at all. It won't make sense. If only we understand that we are just passing by our city, our home, our kingdom is in heaven, then we will change our mindset and the desires of our heart will be reshaped. Priorities of our desires will come back to normal. May God help us. Let's go back to the things that are in the world. These things that are categorized in these three elements. the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The devil knows that once he was ruling in heaven, being at the top of all angels, he lost that privilege because of his pride. When he said, I'm going to ascend, I'm going to rise and sit above even the throne of God. He lost everything because of that pride. Do you think that he will be happy to give you an easy ride to obtain what he has lost? No way. He's not that stupid. He has to do everything under his power to stop me and you to get what he has lost. Because he lost that forever. There is no redemption for him to get what he has lost. Now, what he's doing is to present me and you ephemeral things that can create a kind of paradise, a kind of heaven, and blind our spirit, our conscience, and make us think that, yes, we have received it. Happiness, paradise, heaven. This is it. And everything is found in these three things. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. He has people who have avow him, who have loved him. They have given themselves to him, dedicated themselves to him. And they even, when you read stuff related to those who are in occultic world, they believe that Yahweh that we are worshiping is not God. God in reality is Lucifer, the one they are worshipping, the one they are serving. They believe that at the end, he's the one who's going to rule. And they count us in the group of losers. We know that they are wrong. They are only blinded because the devil has found in their heart this kind of desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So he's giving them what their heart desires are, and take away their salvation. Take away what lasts forever. He's not doing that just for nothing, in vain. You want money, he will give you. You want fame, he will give you. You want success, he will give you. But at which price? Your soul. Your soul. The things of the world always they have symbols. Symbolism is a picture language, and a picture is worth a thousand words. Symbols are a mean of communication to our subconscious. We are manipulated and affected by them. They have a deep rational memory. An image can produce an unconscious reaction. Symbols surround us. They are everywhere. On television, on our computers, magazines, posters that they put on the road there to advertise things. The buildings that we are seeing, we are going in to work, to do our jobs, or we living in. movies that we're watching, countries' flags, money, cars, clothes,